Welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Namus. Christine Scales is in her second term as City County Council member for District 4. Under the current boundaries, they're still arguing over what the new boundaries will be, but under the current boundaries is 38th Street on the south, Keystone on the west, Emerson on the east, 96th Street on the south, a very, very diverse district. She's been a Republican since she was first elected 6 years ago, and the tradition in the council is before every council meeting, the Republicans go off in a room and have a caucus trying to discuss what's coming up at the meeting. The Republicans go off in a room. The Democrats go off in a room. Then they come in and take care of business. Well, evidently, Chris, she's Republican, been a Republican. Always been a Republican, proud to be a Republican. And she and I agree on some issues, disagree on some issues, like the governor and I agree on some issues, disagree on some issues. So at the caucus last week, her own caucus, they acted like it was an episode of Survivor. They voted her off the island. They voted her off the Republican island. Told her, don't come up in the caucus no more. Which I don't think, we've had counselors who switch parties, and that's not a part of this. I don't think in the years I've been here that a caucus has told one of their members, don't come in the meeting. With that, we welcome City County Councilwoman Christine Scales. You're making a little Hoosier history here.
I am indeed, but it's not the kind I like to make.
What happened?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, it was a reminder to me of why I don't like surprise parties. Because I walked in there and I sort of had an inkling I might get beaten up a little bit because of what had transpired the last council meeting.
With the situation with Council President Lewis.
And
you weren't the only Republican that voted to support her.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I wasn't. Right. But, I was at the forefront of, not ousting her. And so I anticipated that they might, beat me up a little bit on that. But I never anticipated what was lying ahead in that almost immediately a motion was made to remove me from the council. And it was seconded.
From the caucus.
From the caucus.
So all that means is you don't go into the meeting before the meeting.
That's right. And I don't get to participate in any of the discussion on policy. I'm not privy to, information that comes down on policy, talking points, things that are necessary to know to be more informed to make a decision. Why the mayor feels this is a policy that's important to be pushed and moved forward. So, and I need to get input from my fellow counselors. It's a place to say why we either are for a particular policy and why not in a private area where that can take place, that kind of discussion can take place.
So are you, so what do you do? Anytime there's a next council meeting, you're not going to necessarily be comfortable going into the Democratic caucus. You're going to have your own, caucus somewhere?
Well, I wasn't sure. Was I going to have to sit out in the hall with one of those little dunce caps on?
What's been the response of your constituents and even precinct committee people, precinct workers in your Republican precinct workers in your district who have worked for you, who have supported you?
Well, I have had some who have just been absolutely lovely with their support, and they contacted me right away saying how they thought it was a travesty, and they went to work sending emails voicing their displeasure and opposition to the action taken to counselors, and they've reported back on what kind of feedback they got from the counselors, if any.
Right.
And of course, there have been Facebook expressions of support for me, but a lot of emails, and that's always reassuring.
Mm-hmm.
The affirmation is nice, but quite frankly, I've always stood on the actions I've taken, the decisions I've made, because they're usually very thoughtfully made, and I've taken time making them, done a lot of research. I stand on principle, and I can always sleep at night with the decisions that I've made. And so the affirmation is lovely, but it wasn't even needed. I mean, I'm good with who I am and what I've done.
Let me raise a couple of issues that are really out here that not only affect your district, but affect, you know, everybody here in Marion County. Mm-hmm. It is amazing that nobody caught on the fact that people that lived in the township areas, so a number of people that live in your district and where I live out in the townships, we were not, I think everybody assumed that part of our property tax was going to support IMPD, mm-hmm. and to suddenly realize that it's not going to go and support IMPD. And if we equalize the tax base, which is common sense that we ought to do.
Yes.
But then the school systems in the townships, Washington Township and Lawrence and all the townships, will lose some of their construction money and transportation money because as the taxes equalize, they get penalized. What reaction are you getting from your constituents that live in the township areas in your district?
You know, quite frankly, I don't think that people have caught on to the fact that mm-hmm. the schools are going to lose mm-hmm. on that. And I have it, you know, whole incident here has taken me back a little bit, but I have it on my agenda to get together with our Washington Township school superintendent and have a meeting with her mm-hmm. to discuss this. Because, you know, on the one hand, there is the fairness aspect that we should all be paying for right. the public safety services that we need. And yet, you know, where are the schools going to pick up the slack for the needed funds? They are already strapped as it is. So these are things, quite frankly, that as we move ahead, I'd like to still have conversations with my fellow counselors right. on how we can kind of equalize some of those funds and find a balance.
One of the things there was in this whole homestead credit income tax thing. Mm-hmm. There was some map that was sent around that showed the areas that would mostly affect, and it really looked like there was going to be a lot of the new construction that had been done in this county in mm-hmm. the last 20 years, and it was going to disproportionately affect Pike, some of the newer home subdivisions in Washington Township and in Lawrence Township and in Warren Township, not as much Franklin, which kind of surprised me, as much new construction was down in Franklin. Is that an issue, this homestead tax credit, which would raise people's property tax, not by a lot, but people are very sticker conscious on their property tax?
Well, it was, and I did get a lot of feedback on that particular one, and I do think some of the feedback, there was actually confusion, mm-hmm. you know, between the other homestead tax, you know, credit that's out there with a similar name. And yet, I think people are starting to look holistically at all the fees and mm-hmm. tax increases mm-hmm. that they've been experiencing over the past now 5.5, 6 years, and the ones that are coming down the pike mm-hmm. that are being they're being threatened with, and saying, a lot of us are on fixed incomes. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have lost either all of our incomes, even if we're dual working couples. And we cannot afford to keep being nickeled and dimed to death, because what we're hearing from the administration is saying, oh, it's only for you $22 here for mm-hmm. this one. It's right. only $30 here for that one. It's only this. And that is adding up to a lot of people. And a lot of people just don't have that extra $20, $30, and that's going to add up anymore.
Because in your district, you're a good percentage of your homeowners are people that have been in their homes mm-hmm. for a number of years. The homes are free and clear, which means there's no mortgage, but then their income might be down. Older folks 50 and over have been disproportionately hit hard by the
exactly.
recession. Is it that downtown doesn't get it? They don't understand it? What's really going on out here? We're so obsessed with, we got to fixing downtown and getting all these young, trendy people to move in here, that they don't forget whether it's people that live in the Meadows or whether it's people that live in Nora or people that live in Pike. They don't really understand what's going on out here in the real world in the city.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, because I do attend neighborhood meetings about every single night that I'm not attending a committee meeting. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hearing is, and that's what I've been trying to, the message I've been trying to get across to administration is, you know, we've worked on downtown for quite some time. We have a lovely downtown that we can be very proud of, and it's going to sustain itself now for a while. We need to pay attention to the outlying neighborhoods. And, you know, there are people out there that are the income producers. Mm-hmm. They are the ones who are paying the property taxes and that really fund all these downtown projects. And we have to make sure we keep them happy mm-hmm. with quality of life issues, nice parks, the sidewalks, but keeping our taxes low so that they won't flee to the other side of 465, where taxes are lower and it's kind of Disneylandish for them.
239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon. And then all this sudden decision by the public safety director to move everybody out of the regional command center out at Eastgate because it was safety hazard. And I told the audience in the first hour, I was out there for a committee meeting mm-hmm. of a civic committee 2 weeks ago, and nobody told me to wear a hard hat. Nobody told me to wear a mask to protect my lungs from some danger. That's unprecedented to suddenly say, I'm going to move all of our employees out of this building because the building is unsafe and the building lease is in such a way where the city is liable to fix it. It's like, what kind of dumb lease is that?
Well, if you look at the lease, it was definitely a dumb lease. And first of all, I think Public Safety Director Riggs did make the right decision in mm-hmm. evacuating the people from that building. But, you know, my history. I was very vocal about the direction Frank Straub, right. the former public safety director, was taking the city, and publicly started voicing my disapproval of his policies.
Were you one of the six that voted against that lease?
I believe I was. Mm-hmm. I voted just about after a while, everything Frank Straub was doing. Mm-hmm. And I questioned the amount of money being spent on that. I do know that. And here's the thing, is what we found out late, you know, too late, was that there was no general counsel that signed off on that lease.
The lawyer didn't sign off on the lease?
A lawyer did not sign off on that lease. And the other thing is, Amos, the people who own the building and fill the other parts with their business.
Right.
They have ties, or part of their business is fire safety protection. Mm-hmm. And they do, they equip buildings with fire suppression equipment, like sprinkler systems and all that. And yet that is what is missing from the part of the building, or is inoperable, whatever it is, from the part that we're leasing from them.
I know former State Representative Bill Crawford. You met him on a number of occasions.
Uh-huh.
He was at the same committee meeting I was at, out at the Regional Command Center. He had never been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And he was shocked to see all those ugly concrete blocks surrounding the building that looks like some medieval castle poorly designed. Is that something where, obviously you're on the outside looking in, but that is something that's going to end up as a big community discussion, that this is like the cricket field where people are saying, why? And is the cricket field a big thing in your district?
Oh, it's a big thing, and it's a big thing to me. You know that. I've been one of the leading opponents of the cricket field and was one of the persons who originally found out what a debacle that was. And, you know, I have still been asking for the contracts that the mayor, you know, has said that we have gotten 3 years of national tournaments granted to us from the United States American Cricket Association. And from day one, I've said, well, may I please see those contracts? And that was in mid-June. And last week, I was still told they can't find them, or they're trying to prepare them for public viewing, which they're not there.
Oh, they're probably in the same file that has how many lifeguards or high school students that I've been trying to find out from. 239-1310. Let me go to Anonymous right quick. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Okay. I have a two-part question.
Okay.
My first question is, I know that collects more on state property tax. So what does state income tax do? Does it help with schools and fire departments and stuff like that? And then my second question is, I have a friend who was a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the military. He never claimed his state state income tax while he was in the military. So he's trying to figure out how can he receive this money back, or will he be able to get this money back?
Let me go by the second, the third question first on the veteran. Did he ever file Indiana income tax forms?
No.
Did he file federal?
Yes.
And he just never filed Indiana?
Right.
He could probably file Indiana. He's going to have to pay a penalty for filing late. Okay. And then he's got to figure out whether the amount of that penalty offsets any refunds he might get.
Okay.
Because usually the way Indiana works, unless you have extra Indiana deductions, you end up paying them. Okay, but it doesn't hurt to maybe do that. Now, on your other questions, the state does not levy property taxes. Property taxes are levied by cities, towns, townships, and counties.
Okay, I understand that with the state property, but I'm saying the state also takes state income.
No. Wait, listen to what I said. Property tax is levied locally. The decisions on how much property taxes are is done at the local level. One of the things you've heard about this, the budget fight in the city county council, what the budget that they eventually decide on, that budget will determine how much property tax people are charged for various services. The state gets its money from income taxes and sales taxes,
right?
Not property taxes.
So is that why there's a big increase for Indiana to have a push to have people move to Indiana so they can increase their revenue on state income?
Oh, all states want more people so they can get more money from sales taxes, income taxes, and then the local government gets money from property taxes, and then there is a local income tax.
Right. So why is our education system so bad if they get this state income tax?
Because there are people in the legislature that think the schools have enough money right now that they don't need any more.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right. Appreciate it. And that is a lot of confusion that people think.
Definitely.
Crime. The folks from the FOP were here the other week and say we don't have enough police officers. You're in a district that on paper – public safety says crime is down. Do people believe that in your district, whether it's the Meadows or whether it's out by Keystone at the Crossing?
No, because I think it is disproportionate throughout the areas of my district. Like the Meadows still has a lot of crime runs, you know, in that area. I believe also up on the north side of town, we had a discussion about this at a neighborhood meeting with an officer who was attending, where people were saying, this happened to me, my car was broken into, I had this stolen out of my garage. Well, did you make a report?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And a member from the prosecutor's office was there as well saying, you know, this is part of the problem. We don't have realistic crime stats because people are not reporting. And yet, you know, we hear the stories. I do. The police officers do. You know, when they're out in the community, the frustration that residents have with either the petty crime or home break-ins, and you know, yet it's not truly being reflected in the crime stat reports.
And then I just saw a preliminary story that the Indianapolis Star put on their website, IndyStar.com. It'll probably be in the printed paper tomorrow, where, you know, one of the Star reporters and his family moved on the Near East Side.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Somebody robbed them of their bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's not going to help the city talking about crime is down when the kings of Indy got their bicycles ripped off.
Well, you know, and I'm sure really just about anybody anymore has a story they can tell about something that was taken from them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have done ride-alongs with the police officers in my district. And, you know, on a Saturday evening, which is when I went out with someone in my Meadows area there on 38th and Keystone, the officer I rode with was busy every single moment of the evening. And that evening, I experienced just about everything you could. We did 100-mile-an-hour,
And that's one of the problems from the officers, that they can't spend time in the neighborhoods because they're driving from run to run to
exactly.
run to run.
Exactly. And because they're so spread, they're spread so thin, the distance it takes to get from one part of the area, if someone, if one officer is caught up in an arrest, you know, then, and he's busy or she's busy, then, you know, somebody else has to go from the southern part of the district way to the northern part of the district. It takes time and gas money.
Do you feel that there's the will among the taxpayers of this city that if all of our elected officials, whether on the council, in the legislative, or in the executive, were to come and say, look, let's levy with y'all. Here are the problems we have, and will you give us permission to increase your taxes for a specific purpose? Is there the will for that? I know elected officials on both parties have been very, very reluctant to hit the tax lever. Part of it is fear. Part of it is also conviction. But yet, I think residents are saying, hey, we need this, we need that. Are we at that point? Is your district at that point, or are we still, everybody's skittish about it?
Well, Amos, I think that when you said, if we can say that it will go to a specific purpose, mm-hmm. if
swear,
somehow...
Swear on, in blood.
It's got to be in blood, because... We've already been there before with both of the prior administrations. We have almost the identical verbiage in promises made by former Mayor Peterson, mm-hmm. putting more officers on the street. I looked at my campaign promises that were basically, you know, supposed to be in sync in 2007 with Mayor Ballard's campaign mm-hmm. promises to put 300 more officers on the street mm-hmm. without raising taxes, mm-hmm. You know, go back to community policing, all of these things. And we haven't done that. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been a priority. And when we did have this meeting that we talked about, I think earlier, about right. 100 people expected to show up at a community meeting on crime, and about 400 showed up, showing the distress people are feeling and concern about crime in their area. People were saying there, and they've still since said to me, we would be willing to raise taxes, but we have to know it is going to go to either recruit classes, and mainly that, or the contracts, right. and nothing else, not into the big hole of public safety.
And on that meeting, this crosses racial lines and party lines?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, it was wonderful to see the cross-section of the population there.
239-1310, 239-1310's Afternoons Names. We'll take a break. Come back with our conversation with City County Councilwoman Christine Scales. Yeah, I'm going to ask about the subsidies for the teams, because I thought when the teams aren't doing well, you give them a subsidy. When they're winning and they're selling more season tickets, what they need help from us for? Okay. We'll talk about that and other stuff. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. Let me go to the phones and Reggie at 239-1310. Hi there. Reggie. We answered Reggie's question. These things. The folks downtown get mad when I talk about subsidies. And the cricket field, just between the cricket field and some of these TIF districts, and I know you've been very vocal on, you know, in terms of getting retail in the Meadows East 38th Street area. Are we anywhere closer to that? Or because one of the fears that I have about that area and other areas, with all the publicity that's been given to crime and zip codes, mm-hmm. you know, that tends to reinforce if a retailer has negative stereotypes about an area and they look at a zip code and they do a Google search, is crime and is high in these five zip codes, it tends to negate efforts of trying to redevelop some of our older neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely been part of the problem. But we tried to turn a negative into a positive. For example, there was a big increase in police runs mm-hmm. to the Phoenix apartments, as right. they're now called. But the good part of that was it was because North District was being proactive mm-hmm. in running out there, sending police officers for every little thing, any mm-hmm. type of little call that could have you know, it was small at the time, but could have erupted into something bigger. So to avoid a larger problem.
Community policing.
And so that's what we were trying to get across to potential retailers, is that we are monitoring the situation so intensely so as to keep real crime from happening. And so we're there. We're a constant presence, and that they should look at that. And the actual then violent crime had gone down in those periods where the crime runs were up.
Has Walgreens been successful in terms of the grocery, the Walgreens up at 38th and Sherman, successful in the grocery items they're selling? And then that can be as a role model, hey, this is what Walgreens is doing. If you guys come in maybe with a smaller store, it could work.
Well, I believe they have, but you know, in working with health and hospital and researchers at IU who have been doing studies on purchases and what's provided there at the Walgreens, you know, that's not something that's optimal, because they offer very limited selection of goods and healthy items, and they're very, very expensive. We would just simply prefer that, you know, there be a full-scale grocery store. It can be smaller, can have a smaller footprint than most grocery stores, but offer a full range of healthy food items of fresh vegetables, fruits, meats, seafood.
Let me go to Reggie right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos.
Hi.
I wanted to ask the lady that, why can't taxpayers demand that jobs be developed? We're hurting for jobs. I would guarantee you, if they could get jobs in those areas that's white mark, I won't say black mark, white mark for crime, the crime would go down. People want to work. People are desperate out here. I'm not condoning crime, not at all. But nobody's talking about 42% unemployment youth. Adults, you haven't given me any statistics for this year. Last year was 36%. I would say it's probably higher now. But nobody talks about jobs in the area. And then if these people would come in that's going to develop the area in terms of hiring people in the community. Everybody in the community is not criminal. Everybody in the community is not lazy. They want to work but can't find jobs. And then when they look for jobs, the transportation system is so bad they can't even get to jobs.
All right, let me let the councilwoman respond.
Oh, yes, I'd love to respond to that. And Reggie, here's what you can do. You know, we've talked a little bit about a TIF situation that's needed in the Avondale Meadows area, in the 38th Street, Keystone, Sherman area. If we could have the TIF, which is desperately needed to be able to attract an investor that would come in with a grocery store, first of all, the building of that grocery store would provide construction jobs for that grocery store being built. And the developer has shown, he has a proven commitment to using residents in the area and specifically minority-owned businesses in all of that he's done in terms of developing that whole Avondale Meadows area. And then once that grocery store is built, it would guarantee a minimum of about 300 jobs once it's built. And again, that there's a commitment there to hire from within the surrounding area. And I have been working, and it's broken my heart, I've been working for 1 to 2 years to try and get that TIF passed. And again, the TIF is needed to attract a grocery store, because otherwise it's very difficult to convince an investor to, you know, take the risk of going into a neighborhood like that. They do need some incentives. I've been met with roadblocks, I'm sorry to say, by my Democrat counterparts. Now, Councilor Hickman, who is a Democrat, has taken it upon herself to try and move the TIF forward of late. But now we've hit a slowdown, and it's kind of been stalled.
The TIF would cover just the Meadows neighborhood?
Pretty much. It would cover the infrastructure needs of that defined area from about Keystone to Sherman, and it would provide enough minimally for the improved parking lot, lights, sidewalks, street repair that's needed. And that would be what would need to be in place to have a retailer come in.
Does the grocery store have to physically be in the Meadows, or could it go as far east as Sherman Drive or as far west as Keystone? Does it, you know, does it have to be up there? Because there's one argument that says this thing needs to be on a major street or at two major cross streets to give it a fair shot.
Well, right now there is, you know, a section of land
right.
that's been pretty much committed to okay. for retail. And it works with the rest of the revitalization that's been done. You know, on Monday we just had the ribbon cutting for the brand new YMCA that opened up
right.
there. And we, you know, the vision of this revitalization project is we have beautiful housing there. And, you know, there's no discrimination as to whether it's, you know, low income people that are in that housing or whether it's market rate that is in that housing. Each person, whoever pays what, gets the same beautiful housing.
Right.
We've got the YMCA. We have some of the best schools that are the most highly rated schools in Tindley and, you know, the Challenge Academy and now some other schools that have opened. We have so much that to attract people to live there, but this is the one missing component, the retail, the economic portion
right.
of the puzzle that's desperately needed to make it all a success.
Work. Let me go to Brother Kareem. Let me go to Kareem at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Okay, how the young lady doing there?
She's fine.
That's good. Listen here, I want to build on what Brother Reggie said. You know, I've been thinking about this thing. You know, down south in Atlanta, Georgia, it got so bad down there when it came down to economy, jobs, and different things of that nature that the churches and the people there came together and said, well, look, you know, we are a community. We want to work. We want to have nice homes. We want to have nice things and businesses. And when the banks wouldn't cut loose those loans, what they did was did an actual boycott against the banks. But the banks said, wait a minute, hold up. We don't want that. So they began to give the so-called black community the monies that they need to develop what they needed to develop. Now, in the state of Indiana and Indianapolis, Indiana, you're on the council down there. I've been down there when I've heard people get bonds and different things for development, and they hire people from the out of town, and they come in to Marion County, and they work the jobs, and the locals, they can't get jobs, i.e. blacks, or i.e. black and poor whites. What I suggest to you, if you can go back and put this on the drawing board, counselor, is that those banks that's in the community that are developing businesses will look to the i.e. black market, as they say. Give those entrepreneurs the opportunity that the Koreans and the Japanese and other people that got come in our communities and get those low-interest loans to develop their businesses. In other words, like Reggie said, they don't come and hire the people right there in the neighborhood where the problem is. They have somebody else come in. And the same thing with the Koreans. You know, our women like hair products. When you go to 38th and Keystone, to make this short, Connie's, she has a thriving hair business, and it's from the black community. The women, they go there a thousand times before they go to the neighborhood stores. But if the neighborhood stores, the black community that have hair care products, could get the kind of loan and breaks that they get, they would have a big, thriving business, and it would produce jobs in the community. And we don't have no black grocery stores, but we got black farmers. So what's the problem with getting with the black farmers and the people who know how to do grocery stores and start having our own viable grocery stores in our community versus
Let me let her respond, because I think in the midst of that, Kareem raised a point, and that is these TIF districts that have been set up, the one that you're trying to do at the Meadows, the Near East one that's gotten perverted to be more broad ripple than the neighborhoods
right.
that I think they really wanted to. Where is the incentive? I know the incentive for the TIF is for the developer to make the investment and the taxes are deferred until the development grows. But where then is the incentive for, as the caller said, as Kareem said, to encourage the banks and said, okay, the city has made this investment. Now, when are you going to come in here and help other businesses, if they're even near this TIF or in the TIF, where create a pool of money to lend out, not to lend for lending. You know, you lend under with prudence to allow smaller businesses to grow.
Sure.
I don't think we do that.
Well, this is why, first of all, let me go back to this particular project, the Avondale Meadows revitalization. It is unique. It's unusual. It's patterned after a very successful project, and the gentleman mentioned Atlanta.
Right.
It's patterned after a very successful project at Eastlake, just outside of Atlanta, that had all the same problems that we were encountering at 38th Street between Keystone and Sherman. And it is pretty much finished. Mm-hmm. But right now, they went from high crime to virtually 5% crime rate, from 95% high crime, violent crime, to 5%. We have people who were on unemployment, high rates of unemployment, 90%. Now the only people who are on federal aid are the Social Security people, elderly, and disability. So what happened was, is as retail came in, and it was the grocery store component,
it brought in
more, and it was minority-owned businesses that came in. And it was that commitment to minority-owned businesses, which Jeans Inc. has here locally, that spurred the rest of that, and it followed. And that's what we're wanting to replicate here.
We'll be back with our remaining moments with City County Councilor Christine Scales. That's probably why they kicked her out of her own caucus. But see, this is how they've cheated themselves. They will miss this knowledge. And if I were you, I would just set up shop in the chamber in your seat and say, anybody want to come in here and find out what's going on? Come see me, and you'll probably get them all coming trying to figure out what's going on. It's After News with Amos, After These. Okay. Andy, you got about a minute with City County Councilwoman Christine Scales.
Thank you for your service. I drove by 38th across from Mary's Seafood, where they're repaving, at a church where they're repaving their parking lot, and I saw all white people there. I mean, what's up with that? I mean, they can't find African Americans to do that job.
So it's the private parking lot of Mary's Seafood?
No, it's a church. It's an African American church.
Uh-huh.
A very good one. I have very good friends that go there. But they hired a company that has white people. I mean, excuse me, you know, but
to build the church, to fix that,
to do the parking lot. Yes,
there are
20 white people there. I figured they'd be have more African Americans, or at least have a few there.
You know, I think that's something that the congregation of that church need to have a serious discussion at their next church meeting and say, you know, what are we doing to help improve the job opportunities in our own neighborhood? But I appreciate the call. So, Christine Scales, next council meeting is what, Monday after next?
I believe so, the 23rd.
The 23rd. So you don't know what you're going to do before the meeting?
Well, first of all, I am going to question, you know, whether they had the authority to remove me from the caucus, because I don't know that we have any bylaws, and even if they were going by Robert's Rules of Order, I don't believe if they used those rules that they followed proper procedure. So I'd like to come back. I do have an invitation from the Democrat Council to join their caucus, which I would do. You know, I'm a very bipartisan person, and that's part of the problem, is that because I wasn't willing to offer my vote to topple the council president, thereby giving Mike McQuillan the opportunity to be the council president and thereby have the authority to make committee chair assignments and regular committee assignments, essentially giving us the council majority.
But if you walk in and sat with the Democrat caucus, you're not becoming a Democrat. You're still a Republican.
I'm still a Republican.
Okay.
But, you know, I love them all.
You're following your faith. That's important.
I am. And, you know, but they don't want me to be bipartisan, and that's a problem.
Has this been a test of faith?
You know, I have tests of faith almost on a daily basis, but that's what I rely on. And you know what, Amos? I had, after last summer, that was a real tough time for me. Mm-hmm. My spirit was broken, but now I'm stronger than ever, and I'm at peace. And I do not hold anything against any of those who voted against me. Mm-hmm. I have no bitterness in my heart, nothing. It's been really actually a wonderful faith experience.
That's a great testimony. That's a great testimony. She's City County Councilwoman Christine Scales. If you want to get a hold of me, just call the council office at 327-4242, 327-4242, and they'll tell you how to get a hold of her. Councilwoman Christine Scales, always good to talk to you. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Amos.
All right. Tomorrow, a whole bunch of other stuff so you need to be here. And then, of course, on Friday, it's Friday the 13th. My Friday friend. Maybe he can explain the legality, my Friday friend. Maybe he can explain the legality of the Republican war on Christine Scales. Maybe he could. I mean, they talk to him at Nikki Blaine's and those gin joints that he goes to. Maybe he could explain all that on Friday. Yeah. Anyway, I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1:00.